podcast dedicated to those who work in children's ministry and those who are committed to reaching this current generation. We hope what you're about to hear inspires and challenges you to be more effective in reaching kids for Christ. Thank you and enjoy the episode.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight with our Kids Men podcast. We're excited to have you listening. Tonight, we have two great speakers joining us, children's evangelist John Logus and Sister Ramsey. We're looking forward to hearing from her as well. John will be our first speaker. Brother Logus, are you there?
I am here.
Amen. Well, so good to have you on the call tonight. Excited. Heard you just recently moved into full-time evangelism.
That is correct, actually. I was just speaking earlier. This very week was the actual first time that we hopped in our truck, pulled our RV, and pulled into a town, into a church, and did a kids' revival over the weekend, starting this very last weekend. So we're excited.
That is exciting. You know, one of the things that I thought people might be interested in knowing is, what was the driving force behind making the decision to go into full-time children's evangelism?
I'm going to assume you want me to elaborate more than just saying God was the driving force.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but, you know, just the burden for children's ministry has just been something that just God has put on my heart ever since, very much from the point that I came into the church around age 19 and 20. And it's just been a focus ever since, always being part of the local church. But I just always knew there was a greater calling that God was going to eventually take me through. I never really knew when or how. But at some point several years ago, me and my family, we'd just done so many kids church type things, just really felt the drive of God and the call of God to take it outside of the local assembly and start offering our ministry to other local churches. And we did that part-time for about 3 years, and it always just went really well. And it just started growing more and more, and just got to the point where either I had to make a decision, because I just couldn't do both my full-time regular secular job and answer the demand that was being put out there. And on a kind of a separate line of thinking, one of the drives itself was something that God has just put a burden in our hearts for, is that our kids, they don't need to wait till they're older to live for God. They don't need to wait till they're older to experience God. And it's just a message that God's put in our heart that we want to share everywhere we go. And I know there's a lot of churches, a lot of Sunday school teachers, they teach that and they emphasize that, but it's just something that we just really want to bring home and let these kids know, and let the parents know, and the teachers know, these kids, they can live for God right now. They can experience God right now. And that's just been such an under flow within our hearts to get out there. So backing up, it got to the point where I needed to really make a decision. And I mean, honestly, it just got to the point where it felt like, you know, how the disciples were speaking with Jesus and a lot of people had left, and Jesus looked at him and said, where are you going to go to? And they were like, well, where else are we going to go? And at this point, it's just got so much a part of my life, is like, what else am I going to do? If we did anything else, we would just be miserable. I don't like to try to bring up all the things we gave up to make it sound like, ooh, listen to all the things he gave up. But, you know, I had a decent paying job and had a good benefits and all that, and a good future at the company where I was at. But it just wasn't where our heart was. And we know God's going to take care of us as we go along.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's so important what you stressed, that, you know, that we continue to emphasize. And I think it's great when a children's evangelist like yourself comes in, just stresses to the kids the importance, their importance, their value, and the fact that they can make an impact now.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's always good to hear from, you know, like I said, Sunday school teachers are, I believe, at least I hope they're telling their teaching their kids that, and I know the churches are, but I think it, for the kids, it's always good to hear that other voice coming in and expressing that to them.
Yes, sir. Now, tell us a little bit about your ministry. What's your focus? Every children's evangelist has different things that they kind of bring into the church for their children's ministry. What's your focus?
As far as how we present our ministry?
Yes, sir. I mean, do you work with puppets or how do you minister to the kids?
We do a little bit of a mixture. I've had someone actually describe it to me once. So it's kind of like you guys do a variety show with a, you know, an anointed altar call at the end, which is probably a good way to describe it. We do a mixture of, we have puppets that are interacting. We have, we do different skits and different object lessons. And I have one of my signature goofy characters that I'll change into halfway through. His name's Skippy, and he's just really off the wall out there. And he comes out and does different things with my wife and my children, my three girls. They help a lot as well with doing different puppetry and even some skits as well. And it's just really, it's a mixture with action songs, and we just break it up into little segments of doing this and then doing that and doing something, bouncing back and forth, kind of set it up in a way that it kind of takes the kids on a roller coaster ride of just crazy silliness, all the while feeding them the word of God, all the while feeding them godly principles, until we just bring it down right to the end and have a move of God and let God begin to do a work in the kids' lives.
Wow, that sounds powerful. I know that I'm looking forward to experiencing your ministry when you get over to the East Coast. Let me ask you one last question, Brother Logos. I think that pastors that listen to our podcast, why would a pastor need a children's evangelist? Can you help kind of answer that question?
I'll do my best. I mean, to really think about it, you may kind of step back and just ask the question, why does a pastor, first of all, need an evangelist itself? And if you go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about how the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, edifying of the body, goes on to expound upon that. And really all those parts of the ministry, evangelists included, are part of doing that. Now, kids, they're not considered the body to be. They're not the body of tomorrow. They're the body of Christ now, especially those that are really in there living for God and really, really committed and really giving their all there, and they want to be close to God. They're part of the body today. So if we take the principle from Ephesians that evangelists being part of that ministry of perfecting the saints and edifying the body, it needs to be done for the children as well. And just sometimes those kids, they need it on their level. Yet there are those services, and there's those times when it's just the standard, either the pastor or an evangelist and the preaching, and kids are moved and stirred as well. That's very true. But a lot of times, to get some of the things on their level for a spiritual experience, they need someone who's a child in an evangelistic mode. Again, also just to, I kind of mentioned before, to hear something from someone else, to kind of spark something new within those kids, and not even just the kids, but also sometimes the teachers, the Sunday school workers. Sometimes our teachers and workers, they just kind of, they get in a rut. I know this because I used to be one for a long time, and you get in a rut and you just kind of go through the motions at some point. And sometimes you just need someone to come through, whether it's someone that comes to your church or you eventually go to a teacher's conference or something, and you see new things being done in a way you just didn't think of, and it just kind of builds that spark back up in you to do more and to take things to another level. But we have to focus on reaching our kids just as much as our, if whatever church anyone's at today, say they had 500 adults, they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and that would be so awesome. But if that happened, same church ignored children and didn't really care about really putting forth any kind of ministry to them, then in about 15 to 20 years, what's really going to be left of that church? Not much of anything. You got to have that balance, that focus of ministry of adults, the focus of ministry of reaching out and evangelizing to youth, and that focus on that ministry of reaching out to our kids, because our kids are the church of today, and then they're the leaders. I stole this quote. This is from Brother Jerry McCool. They're the church of today. There are leaders of tomorrow. There are teachers of tomorrow or pastors of tomorrow, all those different things of tomorrow, but they're still the church of today. And
amen.
Same connection as everyone else is getting.
Amen. I love what you said there, that sometimes children's evangelists can come in and not only stir up the children, but stir up the teachers and the Christian education workers who can fall into routines and kind of just go from week to week. Everything can become kind of blurred or even mundane. But I believe that I've had a children's evangelist come through before, I've remembered how I was inspired as well.
Yes, and that's one thing, if I ever get the opportunity to speak to teachers, the one thing I love to convey to them is that God wants to work through them. God wants His Spirit to flow through them just as much as He flows through any licensed minister out there reaching out to the congregation. He wants to flow through every teacher, Sunday school worker, helper, bus ministry, and let His Spirit and anointing be upon them to do a work in the lives of these kids. Every little aspect builds up to something that God's doing in them.
Amen. Brother Longus, how can people get in touch with you?
So many different ways. I have a website that probably would list everything. It's www.kidsrockmen.org, and that's KIDZ, because when you're in kids ministry, it has to be spelled with a Z. KIDZRockmin.org. Or they can just email me at Lagas, it's LagasJJ@gmail.com. Those are probably really just the two best ways. And like I said, all my other contact information is on the website as well.
Well, thank you very much for being with us, Brother Lagas. We were so excited to have you on board with us, praying for your ministry as you travel full-time across the United States, praying that God would use you mightily.
Thank you so much. It's a blessing to be here and being part of it. I appreciate it.
All right. God bless you. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, Josh Combs, a great children's pastor, who's going to interview Sister Ramsey.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. And thank you, John. That was some awesome information that we heard. Thank you so much for being on the podcast tonight. Our next guest is Sister Kim Ramsey. And Sister Ramsey has been involved in children's ministry for over 30 years. Currently, she is the kids director at the Pentecostals of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and she's been involved in many venues of school bus ministry and evangelizing in kids' church, and she also has a unique passion and experience for reaching children, not just in the church, but outside of the four walls and of the church, and she's going to share a little bit about with us about that tonight. So, Sister Ramsey, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you all for inviting me to be here.
It's such an honor to have you, and I want you to just start off, just kind of share your passion, share your background with being in kids ministry, and also too, with that mixed in there, just kind of share with us the importance of reaching kids outside of the four walls, because I know that you've had experience with that, and that's part of your passion. So just kind of share with us your background and your burden for kids ministry.
Well, we really got involved in children's ministry by accident, to be honest. We were working with youth, and at the time we felt like we were demoted because they put us down into the 10 and 11-year-old Sunday school class. But that was God's calling upon our lives, and we found that by working with children, and we got involved in bus ministry. And from there, we began a ministry that we called Street Rage, which is an acronym for Reaching a Generation Effectively. And we began to go into neighborhoods where the kids lived and just brought a children's church setting right into the neighborhood where the kids were at. And my passion began to grow really through bus ministry. It changed my life because working with children outside of the four walls of your church is a challenge, and it is a deep burden began to grow in my life because they didn't have parents that taught them the ways of God, and some of the home environments they were from just touched me deeply, and I was not raised in that kind of environment. I was actually raised in the church, and so God taught me so many things, and he began to show me the inside hurts of children and the inside needs that so many of us sometimes miss, because all that we see is their outward action, maybe their rebelliousness or their fighting or cursing or whatever they may be doing, and they're not always easy to handle. But God began to show me what he saw when he saw these children. And I began to pray differently than I had ever prayed. I began to pray, God, let me see them as you see them. When I touch these children, God, let it be you touching them. When I sing, let it be a song from you that they hear. And my burden has grown, and I've been involved for so many years, but it's still there. And it's so rewarding when you see a child come to God, whether they be in the church or out of the church. But it's just a rewarding thing because you had a part in that. And mentoring is a very big part of our Street Rage ministry. We do a service out on the street, make our contacts, but then it doesn't stop there. We visit, we take them out to eat. We are doing Bible studies with these children, and we're getting Bible studies with their families. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful experience when you see them come to God as a child and they grow up as adults and they're still living for God. And that's what's happened. We've been doing Street Rage for 23 years. And we have adults who are now in the church and they're living for God. And they're giving back. They're not just sitting on a pew. They're working bus ministry. They're Sunday school teachers. It's such a beautiful experience, and I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I know myself and the listeners, we can definitely, you know, hear your passion, hear your burden for that. And that's so important, you know, to have that just deep-rooted passion that we're here to see kids saved, and we're here to see especially children, you know, who haven't had the opportunity to be raised in the church or, you know, to be around this and to introduce God to them. And that's just so important. Sister Ramsey, can you just kind of take us through what exactly is Street Rage, and just kind of take us through a typical day of Street Rage, so a typical Street Rage service and how that sets up. I know our listeners are probably interested in that, of what's all involved with that, with having a ministry out on the streets.
Well, on our kickoff, which we're getting ready to do that in just about another week, we will do a big blitz. And that's where we get young people from the church and adults who want to help, and even children help us. And we will go out and canvas the neighborhood. We put costume characters or clowns or things like that in the back of a pickup truck, and we drive through a neighborhood honking our horn. Kids come running out. We give them a flyer and telling them that Street Rage is going to be starting in just a few hours, and we give them the location. The location will be in walking distance for the children in that neighborhood. And at starting time, or matter of fact, 30 minutes prior to starting time, we get there, we pull in, and we actually have a truck that has a stage that lets down, but we've done it with just a table and a PA system. You don't have to have the truck or trailer. And we go into the neighborhood, play music, make announcements that Street Rage is fixing to start, and then we'll start out with some high-energy songs and some review games, where we ask questions from the previous week's lesson. Kids who can answer those questions, they get to play a game. They get to choose friends to come up and help them. And the winner of the game will get a prize off of our game board. And the loser of the game will get a little bag of candy, because our motto is everybody is a winner at Street Rage. And we've had that motto for 23 years. And then we have tarps where the kids sit. We have one on the boys' side and one on the girls' side. And we've had as many, I guess the largest Street Rage that we ever had, we had 250 in attendance.
Wow.
And that was kids and adults. And we call it a children's ministry, but it really can be a family ministry, because you have a lot of adults that come out as well. You're hearing for the kids, the lesson is on a child level, but at the same time you're reaching families. After we do our songs and review games, we sit them all down on the tarps. We'll sing a slow worship song to draw them in, get their mind on the Lord. And we have quiet seat watchers, one for the boys and one for the girls. And we'll begin to teach our lesson. And we have pizzas that are donated. that we hand out slices of pizza for our Quiet Seat prizes. And these are for the most perfect kids who are sitting up straight. Their hands are in their lap. They're not, disrupting or anything. And this you're talking about, this is on in the neighborhoods where the kids live. It's not in a church setting. So this is a totally different thing.
Right.
So you kind of have to have those kind of things to keep their attention and to keep a discipline strategy. But then we teach our lesson. We do skits. We do, of course, our Bible lessons, scripture verse, object lesson, storytelling, puppets. We just use a variety of things, magic tricks, just to draw them in and get that lesson across. And then we end with prayer. And we've done lessons on baptism, repentance, and the Holy Ghost. And you know, we've had kids repenting, being filled with the Holy Ghost, being baptized in the name of Jesus. We've had parents praying, seeking God. It's just a wonderful experience. And then the great thing about it also is that we get business funding from our businesses of our city. They actually
wow.
put the money out for the program.
Wow. That's
and
awesome.
That's basically how it works.
That is awesome. That's incredible.
And we will do it. We do it every week. Our kickoff is in the spring. And we'll do it every week until about mid-June because of it gets pretty hot here during the summer. And then we'll kick it back off when school starts and then go about mid-October. And
wow.
So we do it for about 20 weeks out of the year. And then after that, we stay in contact with that neighborhood. 97% of our bus ministry is from our street rage area. And, it's just a great, great thing. It really is. And right now, we just recently, I've been teaching a Bible study to one of the families. We picked up their kids for 7 years, which we met at Street Rage. And this is a Hispanic family. And they have been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, very faithful now in the church. They're bringing their own kids to church. We have started a Hispanic Bible study now from that family and have about 10 to 15 adults that are in that Bible study. And we're getting ready now. So another families are coming to church. We're getting ready now to purchase the headsets and the mics where we can actually have translation going on in our service. So, I mean, God has really done some great things just in the last year at our Street Rage here in Jonesboro.
That's amazing. That is so awesome. And that's just so inspiring to hear. And, and like you said, you know, when it's something that you've been in the community for that many years, you know, you start to see the fruits of it and you start to see kids that grow up and that become adults and are living for God. And so that's just so incredible. Sister Ramsey, just one more question before we wrap it up. I know a lot of our listeners are probably, you know, hearing what you're talking about and the program that you guys do every single week. And I'm sure, you know, for a lot of churches out there, they might not have a huge budget or maybe a lot of resources. What are some practical steps, just practical things that teachers and kids ministries can do? I know summer is coming up and kids are going to be outside. What are some practical things that teachers can do right now or in the near future in their church to just start an outreach program?
Well, this is a small Street Rage. We did this in our city and we called it the Backyard Fun Clubs. And you can actually, the children in their ministry can actually invite the kids in their neighborhood to their backyard or to their front porch. And they can send out or, you know, just give out little invitations just from the kids in the neighborhood. And then they can have a little service. We've done this where the kids have actually taught the lesson. They've played the games. The parents actually just provided the refreshments. It's almost like a little Sunday school class on their back porch or their front yard or whatever. And I know my daughter did this when they were younger, and they had like 20 kids from the neighborhood that came. And we had some of our other children in our ministry that did that. And they actually ministered to 60 kids on that weekend, just in different neighborhoods where their own, you know, where their children live. And their children are the ones who actually taught, invited the kids, and did the whole thing. That's one idea. Something else that we have done and are actively doing is we do a school prayer prior to time when school starts. We send out letters to officials in our city, to the school officials, and we have our children go and pray at the flagpoles, praying a protection and wisdom and guidance in their leadership of their schools or teachers. We do that, and we also put like a yellow ribbon on the flagpole, and it says that this campus was prayed for by the Pentecostals of Jonesboro. And we've done that now for probably about 5 years. And then something that we've just recently, I guess it's been about 4 years now, is we do an education day. And you don't have to have a lot of money to do these things. The school prayer, for sure you don't. But we do an education day where we invite the school teachers and principals and school officials to come for a special service that we do in honor of their teachers, our students, our children in our Sunday school actually invite, send a letter out inviting their teachers to come. And, we have a different theme every year. This year we're doing it all. We're going to have some doors that we're putting up that's going to be decorated. And they're just doors that somebody has in the church that we're going to bring in. And the theme this year is teachers are the key that unlocks the door of our future. And the students of our, I keep calling the students, but I want you to understand, it's the children in our church, the students, present different things just to show honor. But we have had as many as 35 teachers and principals come to these services every year. And it's a great community outreach. Going to the Salvation Army, this is something we did. It's really a phenomenal thing. We had like a prison work, where they actually get to go out and work during the day. They have to go back to the prison, at night. And our children actually, we were going to just go to the outskirts of that prison and pray over the prisoners that were there. And the warden invited us to come in. He said, wow, they'd have to get permission from their parents, but we did. And those kids went in, and we had 40 men that came out in that little cafeteria area of that prison. And our kids led in worship. They led in prayer for those who were lonely. They prayed for the parents, or not the parents, but the children of these prisoners. And then they did like a little drama. And at the end of that little drama, it was just a monologue, so they didn't really even have to say anything. Somebody just narrated and they acted it out. But it was such a beautiful thing, because at the end of that, the guard in the back was weeping and the prisoners were weeping. And we didn't have to go tell those kids to go pray for those prisoners. Those kids went out on their own. They began to lay hands on these prisoners and pray for them. And they were weeping, and God's presence was so strong in that place. And then the jail provided cookies and lunch. And the kids, wow, sat down with those men and they ate together and talked. It was just a, wow, great experience. So there's just so many things. Christmas caroling. You could go out. We brought our kids out to go Christmas caroling to shut-ins or to people that, contacts that are not made so much in the church, but trying to make some contacts in the community. Senior Citizen Work Day is another thing that they can do. They can actually get contact the senior citizen place of your city and ask them for people who are needing help. And you can take some of your kids out to mow yards and to rake leaves and to cut hedges and things like that for the senior citizens of the community. And of course, any kind of advertisement you can get that what you're doing, that's going to even grow, in your community to see what your church and what your kids are doing. And that makes a great impact on the leaders and the people of your city.
Wow, that is awesome. And Sister Ramsey, one thing that I love that was kind of the underlying thread of everything that you said is getting the kids involved, and I think,
yes,
that's so important, is teaching our kids how to evangelize and how to be a light and how to be a witness. And I know myself as a kids pastor, it's very easy to get caught up in that motion of always having myself and the teachers and the volunteers teach and lead and be the examples. But what also is important as a kids minister, our part of our obligation and part of our calling is to empower children to be leaders as well, and to empower them to reach their friends. And so I think that's awesome. And you gave us some great, great practical tips that churches can use and kids ministries can use to reach out to their surrounding community. And so we thank you for that. Sister Ramsey, before we let you go, I know you're a traveling evangelist as well. What's a way that someone, if a church is interested in getting a hold of you and your family, how can they get a hold of you and be in contact with you?
Well, my email address is Ramsey, R-A-M-S-E-Y, 0404 at att.net. My cell phone number is 870-623-5771. And I don't have a website, but they can go to my Facebook page. And we have pictures. We have curriculums available. We have also written a book called Rage on the Devil's Turf that has some practical tips on just working with children, as well as telling the story of street rage. So those are basically the main ways that you can get in touch with us.
Okay, awesome. Well, if anyone's listening here and like to contact Sister Ramsey or Brother John Legas, please do so with the information they provided. And thank you so much, you two, for being on here tonight. We really, really appreciate it. And, of course, thank you to my co-host, Rick Krauts, for helping out. And thank you again for everyone who's been listening to our podcast. And you can listen to all of our podcasts. They're all online right now at kineticpodcast.com. And continue to go there for updates and also check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Until next time, God bless. And thank you for listening.
Thank you again for listening to Kinetic Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Until the next time, continue to check out our website for updates at kineticpodcast.com.